We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts, your automotive host with the most. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
In honor of our first segment or two, how about a shout out to the former home of Shelby American, Whittier, California.
That's what I like about you, Rick. You put heart into this.
You know I love some Shelby.
Yeah, but you like bastard Shelby.
I like Shelby is that I can actually own at some point in my lifetime.
I mean, you know.
Shelby. And I do like the bastard Shelby. Shelby loved the bastard Shelbys. He said his favorite car he ever created was the 86 GLHS.
And what does GLHS stand for?
Goes like hell some more.
That I like that. But you know, he was weird about how he named stuff.
Yeah.
Like what the GT500, like 500 steps or something.
GT350 was 350 steps.
350 sets from the office.
To the where they built
to the where they built it.
And then the 500 was.
So just think if the shop was a little closer, it could have been a GT250.
Yeah. Or a GT9.
And then we got, and then of course we have, feels like my first apartment is the GT2. All right, guys. Then of course we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours, legal counsel slash all around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
And then of course we have the man, the myth, the legend. It's kind of like the king. He's got king tendencies.
That's right.
Tim Greer.
Good afternoon.
It is afternoon, right?
It's actually, well, it's evening.
It's 9 o'clock at night.
Good evening.
Good evening. And then, of course, we got Sean from EMF Auto and Audio.
Both of them.
Both of them in the studio. So, you know, with this whole Ford versus Ferrari thing, I gave everybody a homework assignment. And I said, guys, we need to watch this movie. And, of course, my star pupils, Kobe and the professor, go and watch it. You know what I did? I didn't watch it. Yeah. Tim, you didn't watch it.
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, well, I had the memo, and I'll be honest with you, I just didn't care. I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't really like Fords. I don't really like Ferraris, you know? So I'm just going to kind of like cheat off you guys, you know? So I got the Cliff Notes version of the movie.
Me and Richard literally had this plan about, what, a month before the movie even come out.
Was y'all plan a date or something?
We did. We had the popcorn. We had the soda. We had everything.
BJ Seeger went with us. So, yeah. I mean, we had this planned out.
I mean, we literally had it planned out.
So y'all went to the movies together, right?
Yeah.
Y'all share
my
popcorn?
Buddy BJ and his sister and her boyfriend.
Yeah. Y'all didn't share popcorn or anything, did you?
No, Kobe offered me some of his when I finished mine.
They definitely had two straws in the giant soda.
We did. No, I had a beer, man. That was awesome.
You could drink at the movie theater
yeah,
now?
They sell beer.
They do.
Get a you tall can... boy for $9.
$9.
I don't think that boy is tall enough for me to pay $9 for it.
It was a special occasion.
They must have got their menu prices from the resorts at the casinos in Vegas.
But I probably would know there's probably thousands and thousands of people that are listening that, like me and Richard, went and seen the movie.
You did.
And
I've heard it's great. I've heard nothing but good things.
Yes. I have not seen anybody ever post anything bad about this movie yet.
It's probably the best Matt Damon movie since Good Will Hunting.
I'm going to put it above
Good Will Hunting. I would put it way above even Good Will Hunting. I would probably put it almost probably put it as one of the best car movies.
Now, you said this, and I want to stop you before you make an error on the radio. He said it's a better car movie than Days of Thunder.
It is.
Do what?
It is.
I knew
it
that
is.
Would get Tim's.
It is.
Do what?
It is. And I'm a big Days of Thunder fan, but it is actually better than Days of Thunder.
I would agree.
What?
Well, not that there's. I love Days of Thunder, but Days of Thunder is just about NASCAR racing.
Yep.
This is about cars. I mean, it's about real cars. Like, cars that.
NASCAR ain't real to you?
Well, no, not to me.
You know, and you know me, I'm a huge NASCAR person. And, you know, I raced it long enough. But Days of Thunder, there was a lot of BS in it. There really was.
There's some fluff in it.
Where this, there really was no fluff. There was no BS. It was pretty much to the point about how it was.
Yeah.
I mean, they nailed it. When they did this movie, you know, there was 18,000 people listed up on that thing that had something to do with it. All them people, they did their homework, and they all hit a home run.
Here's the only complaint I have. A bunch of obvious kit cars with 17 and 18-inch wheels.
Yeah, there was.
Man, see, that kind of continuity or that kind of, what you call it, problems, bothers me.
It bothers me, too. I was disappointed to see that.
But it was just one of them
Halibrands on
when, when Tim Grier rolls up to the movie theater on a car with 15-inch wheels, and they're showing in a 60s car with 15-inch wheels that he put on it, to watch a movie that's based in the 60s with cars with 17-inch wheels on it, there's something wrong with the world.
That's bad.
That's just bad. But yeah, I hate things like that. Really, you think they would have caught that?
You think they would have bought some Halibrands?
Yeah, you would have thought.
Come on, what are they, 4,000 a set? I mean.
But it was really one scene. It was one real quick scene. And unless you're a super, super car guy like us, 99% of the world would never even have caught it.
Right, it's that 1% I'm with you. That one's kind of hurtful.
It was.
Now you realize if I go and see it, which I probably will.
We're going to go look.
I know. I'm going to be looking specifically for that.
That's the scene I'm looking for.
You'll see it.
You'll see it. You will see it.
That's okay, so.
But they hit the paint schemes. They hit, you know, they hit everything.
All the race cars were perfect.
They really were.
Like the cars that did have the big wheels or whatever, they were like scenery.
No. I mean, and I understand that because it's hard to film something. And you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, and racing stuff has changed so much. And there's a lot of those cars are still vintage racing, but they've been updated.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I could see where it would be hard to do. Do you think it had like a lot of Factory Five, like Daytona cars?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Without question.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I wonder if they got mentioned in it.
I know that Matt Damon's Cobra is a real 289 Cobra. Or Carroll Shelby's.
The one he's driving.
Yeah. Okay, you said Matt Damon. So didn't you say Jay Leno's garage he was driving?
Yeah, he drove that car also to Jay Leno's garage.
You know, I want to tell you something. If Matt Damon owns it, and I don't know, somebody needs to probably Google that and see. But, you know, if I was, you know, a pretty successful Hollywood movie star, I'd have to have me a 427 Cobra if I'm going to get one.
I like the street Cobras, 289s, man. Skinny body. We've had this discussion before about our perfect Cobra. Yeah, and mine was very different than yours.
Yeah, well mine
was. Well, yours, I think, had an LS in it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to build the perfect Cobra, I would, you know.
And Kobe's had some twin turbo Ford Monster or something.
The best Ford you ever had a GM motor in it.
But, you know, and
I'm just saying.
Like, you know, even like the little, like the funny skits in the movie, you know, it's a lot of stuff that you know, I've read in books over years. You know, they even had them in there. And if you're that guy, I guess, or a car guy, and you've read stuff like that, and you got to see or read that stuff, and then to see it on the screen, it was pretty cool because they literally almost took it right out of a book and just made a scene out of it. And then, like, you know, like, even right down to the little fight we were talking about, that was hilarious. We were talking about it on the off-air. You know, they had a fight scene, you know, where they were beating each other up with bread and everything else, and that was just hilarious. I know all, you know, the people that have seen it probably laugh like me and Richard. It was hilarious. You know, and there's a lot of touching parts of that movie as well that will really, really almost make you tear up. Not just at the end, just all the way through the movie.
Yeah, incredible racing action, but also cinematically it was also just a good movie.
It really was. The production, everything. Right down to even, you know, the deuce and everything. I mean, every bit of it was spot on.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I mean, it sounds like a really good movie, though. And Carroll Shelby's a very interesting guy, and I really want to touch on Carroll Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a literal sense. But no, seriously, I want to touch on that here in this next segment. Because Carroll Shelby was a very... you can't capture it all in a two-hour movie.
No, of course not.
Carroll Shelby was a hell of a guy. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking all about Ford versus Ferrari right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to our man, Sean McHenry, in a place that I have never heard of, Long Beach, Washington.
Yeah, he messaged me the other day, and we were carrying on a conversation, and he seems like a really cool guy. Long
Beach, Washington. The other Long Beach.
Yeah, the LVC.
Yeah.
Is that Washington State?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's the same Long Beach as California, then.
Probably.
It's just a long beach.
It's a long beach.
Is that why they call it that?
I mean, it's the long. It goes to San Francisco, goes right on to Washington.
I mean, I'm sure that's probably.
Is that really? I mean, not to sound.
No,
like
I just made that up.
Do they hold it down?
You are notified.
You also told me that Elvis builds transmissions and Roebuck. So, I mean, I'm just.
No, that's Mexico.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Down near Long Beach, you know.
Matter of fact, that same beach runs through Mexico.
Well, it's
called the coast.
Sean McHenry is qualified to rep the LBC.
Yeah. Sean, message me and confirm or not confirm about your beach.
Yeah, which beach is it?
All right. You're giving me a headache.
You know the East Coast got a Long Beach, too.
Really?
It's called the East Coast.
It's called the East Coast.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't teach geography. You know that. The children.
I'm sorry.
And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst / numbers guru, Kobe Miller.
And in need of some leave. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, exactly. What's going on, everyone?
Did you just call Kobe the financial analyst?
Did I call him that?
He did.
We have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all-around cool car guy.
Have I been replaced?
Kobe,
yep.
Meet your replacement.
We're going to change roles tonight, Richard.
Yeah. You don't want to
Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
All right. Is everybody happy? Do we need to use... We have Sam the producer. That's what I'm going to start calling him. Just start calling Sam. Sam. He needs to shave that thing off his face. You see that?
Did you miss a spot?
No, him.
The equivalent of Richard beer assistant
Richard
somebody else every
Tim.
Time.
Yeah, Tim got the...
Richard was talking about Tim with his, and then...
Tim's got like a... I don't know what, like a soul patch on his chin.
What do you call that on your chin?
That's called a goatee. Oh. The quintessential goatee is what that is.
Okay. Tim's is a second mustache.
Yeah, the textbook definition of a goatee. That's what that is.
Tim's is a second mustache.
Exactly. He has a chin stash.
Double chin stash.
So chin stash. And then we have the man, the myth, the legend, the creator of the chin stash.
Right.
Tim Greer.
I am here.
You are present.
Present.
And then, of course, we have Sean from EMF Autos and Audio, both of them.
Both of them.
So we're talking about Ford versus Ferrari. You know, and you can't talk about this movie without talking about Carroll Shelby. And Carroll Shelby was an amazing guy, but a quirky guy, though. He was kind of, he's a little different, too.
He was a little strange.
Well, I mean, he did. Like Mopars, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, he created some awesome Mopars.
Well, he liked a lot of. He was awesome. The only
Mopars?
Thing I will say, I think one of the cool things about Carroll Shelby, he wasn't a Ford guy, he wasn't a Mopar guy, he was a car guy.
Yeah,
he was just an all around car guy. It didn't matter what it was, he was going to make it go fast and make it handle.
That's the thing. Like he would get you put him in a Dodge Omni. And Leo Iacocca says, hey, make this thing into a race car. And he did it with surprisingly little.
I think
he
was joking when he said it,
though. Yeah, I've done the same thing with a Rambler.
That's not the same
Leo
thing.
Leo Iacocca came to me. He said, make this thing into a race
go
car.
Faster.
Make this thing into a gasser.
I put a Chevrolet motor in it.
I wonder. I bet you Lee wouldn't like that if he'd have done that.
Well, the last car that Carroll Shelby ever built was an Oldsmobile powered vehicle.
Technically, yeah,
it was. It was the Series 1. It's the only car that he ever built from the ground up.
So it didn't share any components.
Well, it had a lot of GM components, but it wasn't based on anything. But yeah,
what it was like the 4100 or something?
It
or
was the Aurora V8.
Yeah, like the Northstar, the Oldsmobile Northstar.
Yeah, strategy. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to have the same radio and
that
HVAC
lotion you're putting
your
on your hands, Kirby, smells like,
really? Yeah, yeah.
Like loving. Like he's putting it on right
what
now.
What is that?
Lotion?
I don't know if I should be getting turned on or what right now, but that smell is just like, it's inflaming my nostrils.
Yeah.
I had to get my smooth hands on.
He's going to rub his hands like Sling Blade, like he's about to kill
him. Some folks call it a Kaiser Blade. I call it.
But, you know, one of the coolest things about that movie, and I got to just happen to think about that, I don't know why, but I love the rule book when they were having brake failures. Well, you know, you run the brake so hard. Well, in the rules, it says you cannot change brakes or rotors.
You can change components or something to that
effect.
It
said something about you can change components, but you couldn't change brakes or rotors. So Carroll got this brilliant idea. He did upper and lower control arm with the spindle and everything all in one and put it on as a component. And the guy's like, you can't do that. And he's like, show me in the rule book, you know. And it wasn't in the rule book.
Yeah, but that's racing.
That's racing.
It's getting creative.
It was, and you know, and it was. Yeah, that was a cool thing.
That was very Carroll Shelby-ish.
Very Shelby-ish.
Yeah, he loved racing, and he made the Cobra first, and he was pretty much broke until this Ford came to him and said, you know, we want to beat Ferrari at Le Mans. And then, of course, started building the Mustangs, and he hated Mustangs at first, at least. So they were secretary cars.
And I love the opening. Well, not really the opening scene, but one of the scenes where they were in the wagon going from the grocery store.
Some when the wife's driving.
Yes,
we sitting here in the dark.
Yeah, I'm just like, uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh
huh. And. What was it?
You know what though? Said, to be okay
he
though,
to go
when
back
we talk
racing?
when we talk about like Chevrolets and high performance, yeah. Richard, yeah, that we know how Richard feels.
Yeah, when he said
I
want
Chevrolet
back,
high performance.
He said I want to go back
with him before. Did he get fired and went to Dodge?
Nah, he quit.
He quit.
He after Ken Miles died, he just
he never
still
had a Mopar with a V8 in it.
Yeah, Shelby Dakota.
A Dakota.
Yeah, 1989. Dodge wanted to put a V8 in the Dakota, so they went to him and said.
But the first
figure out how to do this, engineer it, and he did. And then in 91, in 90, a V8 became optional in the Dakota. The only thing they changed was his had an aluminum radiator. Then in 91, the Dodge Dakota Magnum came out.
Really? Yes. So because of Carroll Shelby, the V8 Dodge Dakota is there.
Dodge didn't want to engineer it, so they said, you do it. Yeah, you know, make it work.
That's crazy, really.
Bobby.
Shoehorn this here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to Ford.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, my head's about to explode. One, we're talking about Dodges and Fords at a rapid rate. We got to take a commercial break, guys. Stay tuned. We're talking all about Ford versus Ferrari and Dodges right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. And, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst / numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to, in honor of racing history that we're talking about tonight, how about a shout out to Daytona, Florida?
You know what? I'm going to find my way in Daytona Beach here in the next couple of weeks because I love that town.
Oh, it's a fun town.
I love Daytona Beach.
I'm going to need a chaperone if I ever go there with you. You can't let me go out by myself.
Professor, you need a chaperone if you went to a library. I know you. You're trouble. My mother thinks you're a saint.
I know. I love your mother.
And you have her so snowed. That's the bad part. Like, if she only knew.
I'm not that not that bad.
Send her some of his home videos.
I'm not trying to kill my mama, Tim. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, Rob?
See?
Thanks for getting it right.
I got it right at the time. Right. And then, of course, we have... I don't know what the hell he is. We got Tim Greer in the studio.
Yeah, I can't count, and I'm not legal. So.
Exactly. We don't want you giving geography lessons.
That's right.
You know why they call it Long Beach? It goes from one end to the other.
That's right. It is the longest beach.
It's got sand.
There's one on both sides of the nation.
Tim over there points to Saudi Arabia. You know what they call that? Wide beach. You know why? Because it's so damn wide.
Yep.
It's end to end beach. And then, of course, we have Sean from EMF Audio and Autos.
Both of them.
Both of them.
I don't know what the difference is.
One's autos, it's cars.
Come on, man.
And audio, which is like my headphones, audio.
So you put headphones in cars.
No, speakers, amplifiers.
So yeah, autos. Autos is just car related in general. Car stuff. Exotics, luxury, all the stuff I do, just cars, not car audio. The audio is the audio company where I manufacture, sell equipment. So it's just audio
you
stuff.
You make headphones for exotic cars.
If you want to put some subs strapped to your head and call them headphones, that's
it's,
fine.
It's okay. Kind of like bona fide batteries, bona fide storage sheds, bona fide shoelaces, bona fide, you know, all your bona fide stuff. His is autos.
Does that always belong to your wife?
The former wife? No.
All mine belong to my wife.
All of them do. All right.
Mr. Tax Man.
That's right.
Just saying, Tax Man.
Called me the other day.
He called me up, said, "Hey, give me some money."
That's right.
I know you got it on you.
I've been looking for you, boy.
Some people call it a Kaiser Blade.
I talked to all three people down in Roebuck. They couldn't tell me where you were at.
That's right.
Give me some of that pot of meat. It's interest. Anyway, we're talking about Ford versus Ferrari. And the professor and Kobe have got all fangirl over this movie. And I'm sure it's good. And you know how it is when a new thing comes out.
I want to see it.
Professor was kind of a lot like this when the Spice Girls album came out the first time. he got real excited. He's like, this is like the best thing ever.
I just like the cover.
Well, it was pretty hot. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he never even listened to it. But,
opened it up, took the piece of paper out, threw the rest out the window.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about the best thing you can do with a Spice Girls CD. But it's like a, you know, like he's all excited about it. And like, Hoopy's like, it's better than Days of Thunder, which is a cardinal sin in the South, that.
And I'm a NASCAR person, but I'm telling you it is.
Speaking of Days of Thunder, did y'all know that all of them cars was made in Spartanburg, South Carolina?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean.
And
Fast Furious cars.
Yep, and. Talladega Nights.
Yeah, Ricky
in
Bobby.
Spartanburg.
Yep.
Sparkle City.
Murderbird.
Murderbird.
That's right.
But,
shout out to Murderbird.
Hey, we ain't got no bad Walmart.
Yeah, you do.
No, all your Walmarts are bad. That's the thing. We have one bad one in Greenville.
You ever been to the one on Wade Hampton?
37.
Your Walmart has bars on bars to hold people.
I'll remind you that on the west side of Spartanburg, that Walmart is where I went to high school.
That's right.
You went to high school at Walmart?
Right, the
they tore down the high school to build the shopping center that has the Walmart. So I can say I went to high school at the Walmart.
There's so many jokes for tearing down a school and building a Walmart.
Well, if there's any consolation, there's also a Bed Bath & Beyond.
You know, I'm kind of...
Probably half the kids that dropped out of that school probably work at that Walmart.
That's rough.
Just saying.
How about the managers? They graduated, okay?
Hey, they could have gone to Home Depot. You don't know.
Got you there.
Or the nail salon.
Or Bed Bath & Beyond. They stacking sheets. So we're talking about Carroll Shelby. And, you know, Carroll Shelby had a very interesting career. He worked with lots of manufacturers. The professor filled us in on how it was because of Carroll Shelby that there's a V8 in the Dodge Dakota.
Also made the first variable nozzle turbo vehicle ever made, the 89 CSX. Also the first car to ever have carbon fiber wheels.
Okay, whoa, slow. Now you got like, you sounded like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. I want a Red Ryder BB gun with extra scope.
I can't Google it that fast.
So, okay, first, variable nozzle turbo on a CSX.
Uh-huh, 89 CSX. Wasn't repeated again until Porsche in 2002.
89 CSX. What? Fill me in.
It's a Dodge Shadow rebadged or re-engineered by Shelby, Shelby American. They made 750 89s, I think. They were all red. They had gold carbon fiber wheels, and they had a variable nozzle turbo.
They had carbon fiber wheels on a Dodge Spirit.
On a Dodge Shadow.
That too.
Well, it's a Shelby CSX, but it also had the first variable nozzle turbo, and that's another one where Shelby engineered it, and then in 90 and 91, they were at, or no, 90 only, they were actually available on the Shelby Daytonas and a couple other Dodge vehicles.
Did it work out well?
It was too expensive. The 91s didn't have them. They went back to a standard turbo. It worked fine. It worked great. It's just these weren't.
What kind of horsepower did a CSX?
175. And a car that weighs 2,700 pounds.
And so they took a four-door.
Two-door.
It was a two-door Dodge Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm placing the car in my head. I think I know what it looks like.
It's got wing. It's got a wing. It's got ground effects.
It doesn't really look anything like a Dodge Shadow anymore. Ish.
If you know what a Dodge Shadow is, yeah, you can tell.
And were they sold like through Dodge dealers or?
But they were Shelby's. They were titled as Shelby's.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know.
Yeah, they're called number cars. They're okay, real Shelby's.
Okay, so that's the Dodge Shadow Shelby S87.
That's not a thing. There was an 87 CSX. They were all black and silver.
Yeah, this is black and silver. This is 87
then
Shelby.
In 88, there was a CSX-T for Thrifty, and they're white and silver.
What year are we looking at?
89.
Sound very intrigued. Okay, there it is with the gold. Oh my God, it looks like a Beretta from the side,
like a Dodge Colt with a kit.
If you didn't tell me that wasn't a Beretta,
it does look Beretta.
I'd say that's a Beretta.
I say it's a Beretta with the door handles in the wrong spot.
Yeah,
you know, Beretta's had those door handles on the side. Yeah, at the
that
top.
That was the first production car to ever have a VNT turbo.
Those were carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't very good. They're called fiber rods, and they're really not safe.
They look awful.
It was 89, man.
Well, I mean, I realize it was the 80s, but they still look awful.
It's an acquired taste.
But, you know, that car right there is probably worth a good bit of money.
So is Flint tap water. But you know what? I wouldn't recommend it.
You got a real nice one. They're worth some coin.
What's coin for a CSX Spirit?
If you got, like, Carroll Shelby's personal one or something like that, you're probably in the low to mid-30s. If you just have one that's in low miles and very nice.
So you've got one with Carroll Shelby DNA in it.
Yeah, well, they made
like a bottle of nitroglycerin pills in it, you would have it.
That would be
pretty cool if you did have one of his bottles.
I know you said coin, but those sounded a little bit more like Dave and Buster tickets.
Well, I mean, if you're into Shelby Dodges, they didn't. You used to be able to pick them up for $2,500.
I didn't think about this, though.
So they're coming. The collector market is adapting to them slightly.
We are talking about Dodges.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a Dodge Shadow.
I mean.
No, because its title is a Shelby.
Well, it is a Shelby CSX, but, you know, Shelby Mustangs are still Mustangs.
Yeah, but.
They took off a little quicker.
They did a little better.
But like you were talking about nitroglycerin, you know, it was amazing watching that movie and him racing. And as he's driving, he's reaching in his pocket.
Because he had some compulsive heart failure or
he
whatever
had a
it is.
Bad heart.
But this dude had a bad heart for a long time because he didn't get a heart transplant to 86.
Right. Nitroglycerin pills. They actually say in the movie, when they're telling him he can't race anymore, he says, I take the pills work. Apparently, they stopped working at some point.
That's crazy, though. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, he's just an interesting guy all the way around.
He was, and he gave so much money to the Children's Heart Fund.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not to be pun, but it's close to his heart, you know, that organization is.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what's not close to my heart's commercial breaks, but unfortunately, we got to take one. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking about Ford versus Ferrari right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. And, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst slash Carroll Shelby fanboy, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to Lamar France. I figure it's fitting.
I guess so.
And we don't go overseas very often.
No, 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 we don't.
Thanks, Richard.
Then,
what?
I have no clue where that's at.
I have no clue.
Okay.
Do they have a Long Beach?
I think they do, actually.
Isn't it the one shaped like a boot?
Am I the only cultured one here that's left the country?
Yes, I've left the country.
I've been to Canada.
I've hosted events outside of the country. I've been to London.
So
Kentucky and England.
I went from there to France, so I know what we're...
France.
According to some racing videos I've made, I've been to Mexico a few times.
And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
And then we have the man, the myth, the legend.
There ain't no myth about it.
Tim Greer.
How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey.
And then, of course, we have Sean from EMF Audio and Autos.
Both of them.
Both of them. That's we're going to make you a sticker. Both of them.
Yeah. Or
both.
Or the Spartanburg version. Both of them.
Both of them.
Yep. Put it on the McLaren.
There you go.
That could be a personalized plate. Both of them.
If only I didn't already have wing door.
Yeah, wing door.
Oh, wing door.
And then, you know, Sean is really the pimp of the bunch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you come rolling up. I mean, Professor, when you come rolling up in a Murata, I mean, it's pretty hot. But when you come rolling up in a McLaren, you're just a pimp. I'm sorry. That's just next level cool.
I feel like I've at least been matched.
I mean, the 81 Murata.
If he had the tag bracket, well, then that's a whole different story. When he gets that
tag
bracket.
You may get knocked out when he gets that front tag bracket.
That's, direct connection. Direct connection. You've been a mechanic for how long?
You know, the Chrysler aftermarket parts.
When did I ever claim to be a mechanic?
You work on cars.
He's bona fide.
That's right.
Well, I know. I mean, you do stuff with cars.
Bona fide pointer. Go get that done.
Yeah. All right.
Y'all can't figure it out, Google it.
Well, you're older than we are.
Me and Tim are kind of a lot alike when it comes to mechanics. You know what I'm saying? Like, we kind of know what's going on.
Yep.
But we do better coaching. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
I'm that guy.
I'm not going to. Kobe's going to be putting that tag bracket on.
Kobe. Professional tag bracket installer. Be sure to torque those to factory specs. I mean, do you realize you're going to be holding like a priceless heirloom of Murata owners?
I know. I'm like.
Going to be shaking. And
when I open it up out of the box, it's probably going to start glowing. Oh.
It's pretty irreplaceable.
No. Trust me, I know. I've actually helped them.
No pressure.
You know, I literally, when Richard started talking about this tag bracket, 6 months ago, I guess. I was like,
a year.
Surely I could
find. 6 months ago.
No, probably a year now, ain't it?
It's been at least a year.
I said, okay, I'm going to help him find this tag bracket. I have scavenged everywhere. There's not a tag bracket to be found.
Nope. There's not.
And I think one off of a Trans Am or something like that would fit, wouldn't it?
No.
I don't know.
It the way it's shaped, it literally, not only is it convex curved, it's concave. Concaved. It's both. It's a real funky tag bracket.
The part that I like most about all this is you're looking for a front tag bracket in a state that doesn't require a front tag.
I know. But hey, man, if you drive a Murata,
you gotta have it. That's how you pimp.
Yeah.
That's a bit laughing stock in the Murata community.
He doesn't even have a front tag bracket.
I mean, some pimp by getting the front tag bracket, others just spend $300,000 on something else. Yeah.
So, how many people are in this Murata community?
It's a small town.
No,
it's
there's a bunch, believe it or not. In the little Mopar, your little Mopar world?
Yeah. Your little Mopar.
I love how he said, you know, your little Mopar
that little
friend.
Mopar thing you do?
Yeah, well, Richard added me for some reason to...
Oh, my God.
You're looking for parts.
Yeah, I was helping him look for some parts.
I would feel more comfortable being added to, like a Democratic...
Well, this is what was crazy. I was thinking, like, when it said, you know,
if you read the memes backwards, they're hilarious. Okay,
he, I couldn't believe the following on that Mopar.
And there's some nice ones too.
Really
don't worry, Tim signed me up for a Rolls Royce one.
Yes, I did.
I bet you fit right in.
Oh yeah, I won't tell you something. Like I literally stick out like a turd in a punch bowl there. You know, I'm just saying.
You mean you're not your typical Rolls Royce owner?
Yeah, I mean, well, look at Tim. I mean, he's a man of distinguished. You can tell.
I can see Tim fitting in perfectly.
He looks like he walked off the cover of GQ.
Have
if
you
they
shown
sold
them,
it at the hot spot.
Have you shown them your Rolls Royce yet?
No. No, we're keeping it a secret. It's on the hush.
All right, sorry.
It's a Rolls hush.
All you got to do is make it so you can put the umbrellas in the doors like the modern Phantoms and Ghosts and all those, and then you'll just fit right in. It's perfectly fine.
Hell, well, we got a roof on it. We don't need umbrellas.
We ain't even got a sunroof.
You're cutting the roof off it.
What?
What'd you say?
No.
Oh, you said it has a roof.
It does have a roof.
Well, you should. If you open the doors, you should have umbrellas. Well, I mean, I doubt they're still there. Yeah.
In a
67?
When you got the doors open.
Yeah, it's since the, like, 30s or 40s. Since they had doors.
That is true.
I haven't really looked, just be honest with you.
Yeah, open up the door, check on the inside. I don't know about that one. The one that you got. I don't know if
Silver Shadow.
Silver Shadow is kind of a base car, so
I don't
you know.
Base.
Well, by God, regardless,
you know
we're going to put
bad.
One in it now.
You know it's bad when a damn Murata guy calls your car base.
We got electric winders.
A man dropped the Murata. If you Google what the Murata, look what you did to Kobe. Your damn Murata gave him tuberculosis, okay? Look at him.
Here's what you're new. Once you get it going, get it in a better state. You're working on the doors. Roll it over to my house. I will fab up everything. So you can have
umbrellas
in your
doors. Well, because we're classy like that.
We'll videotape that.
So this is the thing. At the end of the day.
That's really only a hole saw.
If you Google what a Murata is notoriously known for, it's the one car that made Richard Petty quit.
It is.
He's the reason. He said, you got sick. It made Richard Petty to start taking goodies.
Okay.
That's what it did.
I'm going to stand up for Richard on this one. Okay. That made Richard Petty
good,
quit.
Good, you can help push.
That made Richard Petty quit. You know what Chevrolet did this year in NASCAR? Made Jimmy Johnson retire because they can't win.
I won't fade on a little sticker about Jimmy Johnson. You can't. That's kind of like, you know, Carolina football blaming the football.
All right, come on now.
I'm just saying.
I'm right here.
But you make it so damn easy sometimes.
That's just the way of the world.
It is. The world's a cruel place.
But, yeah. I mean,
we don't say these things to hurt you. We say these things to make you stronger, Professor.
In the championship, you had 3 Toyotas and 1 Ford. No Chevrolets to be found.
I knew when they brought them Toyotas in, it was going to be trouble.
You're right. And that's why I was actually
there, and he brought them in. I said, this is going to be bad.
I was running Fords. Before the Toyotas come in, and as soon as the Toyotas come in, they offer me a Toyota engine. I put it in the car, and I was like, I hate to tell you, I'm never going back. Yep. I mean, it's just so much.
You know, I dated a chick and drove a Camry one time.
So did I.
One time. Anyway.
I've got a Lexus, the base model.
Base. But don't worry, we got a Rolls Royce. It's the damn base model, too, apparently.
How you get a base model
Rolls
Royce?
Professor, well, I mean, way to go. You make us feel like a second-class citizen.
It's not that. I mean, every vehicle has a starting point. Some are higher than others. Rolls Royce is pretty high on the list.
Yeah, it's the highest.
But they sell base cars, too. I mean, you go to Rolls Royce and build you one and don't put anything on it. What
it
do you got?
It's got power windows.
Yeah.
Well, of course it's got power windows. It's
I
a Rolls
guess
Royce.
Instead of just pine or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually is pine.
What?
It is. It's number 2. It's number 2 wooden pine.
What we got here, Tim, is a damn room full of haters.
Hey, y'all got it out of the trailer park. What did y'all expect?
It wasn't built in the damn trailer park though.
Well, it was probably modified. It was modified.
They didn't float mobile homes over on water. If you lost
they,
your mind.
They modified it in the trailer park.
No, it hasn't been.
Y'all have some paneling in there.
It was in temporary storage.
It's got wood. Our Rolls Royce will have wood paneling in it.
They do some flooring and cut it.
All right, guys, I tell you what, we got a really cool calling guest coming up. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.